بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والله جعل لكم من بيوتكم سكنا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have numerous social problems these days. Alcoholism, drug abuse, teenage pregnancy, teenage suicide, neglect of the elderly, television addiction, addiction to the screen. The list goes on and on and on. But if I had to ask you the question, what is the root? What is the biggest challenge that we have in the 21st century? Without doubt, it is the breaking down of the family structure. The breaking down of the family structure is at the core of all of these problems that we have today. If we look around, and when you speak to people and you analyze, you find that the home, which we supposed to be a place of happiness, a place of contestation of rights. The husband is at odds with the wife is at odds with the husband. Children are in their own world. And in this process, what we find is that the objectives for which Allah has outlined marriage and the home is not being fulfilled. In the verses of the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about marriage, what does He say? He speaks about marriage in a very beautiful manner. And He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah says, it is among my signs. The sign takes you to a destination. What does the sign take you to? The recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is among my signs that I have made, for you a partner from the same kind like you. And I put love amongst you, mawaddah, and at a later stage, compassion. And if you reflect on this, then this is undoubtedly a sign for the people who reflect. So what we find from this verse is that the marriage, the home, supposed to be a means of comfort for one another. Wallahu ja'ala lakum min buyutikum sakana. Allah says, we've made your home a place of repose, relaxation. The moment you enter the home, you feel relaxed. All the stress of the day is taken away and you re-energize. Yet when we look at the reality, the home has become a place where individuals are sort of isolated, and the whole concept of marriage has changed. So why is it that the family structure is breaking down? It is perhaps because we have changed our outlook towards marriage. Marriage is a very sacred institute. In the Quran, Allah refers to it as mithaqan ghaliza, a very strong and weighty covenant. Yet these days, the reality is that people have been influenced by Western media, by the television, and the entire notion and the way we look at marriage has changed. So people enter into marriage thinking, if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, we'll go our own way. We'll go our own way, we'll separate and go our own way. And what happens in the process? It is the children that suffer the most in divorce. And statistics have shown that these are the very children who are prone to alcohol, drugs, dropping out of school, and many of them can never make a comeback in their life to live wholesome and fulfilling lives, to be able to realize the rights to Allah and the rights to their fellow human beings. Another point that has impacted on our marriages, and this has occurred in the last few hundred years, but more so in the last 30 or 40 years, with women entering into the marketplace. So what has this done? it has created parallel lives. So the husband has his job, his career, his shop. The wife has her thing going. Children are left at the hands of caregivers. They're left in the hands of the domestic or in caregivers for the entire day. And in the process, their nurturing, their tarbiyah is not complete. Like we know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. And there is a dedicated and a specific effort that needs to go into this. Yet we hoping that it may just happen by chance, that somewhere along the line children will pick up the necessary qualities and they will be molded by the environment. But that's not happening. And as a consequence of this, what we find is also a person wakes up in the morning. Now, after a night's rest, that is when you're at your best. You go to work, you are energetic, you're vibrant. The wife also wakes up in the morning, she's rested, she's energetic, the children. At that time, when we are, so to say, at our best, then you'll find that the husband or the man in his workplace is interacting with his colleagues, sometimes with the opposite gender, laughing and joking. The same may occurring with the wife. By the time the night comes, now after the long day, you have to negotiate traffic. You've gone through your daily tasks. The husband is tired. The wife is tired. The children are tired. Each one is meeting at that stage of the day when everyone is tired. What do you find? You're at your sinner's end. So the slightest provocation, the smallest statement then provokes. And we're at our sinner's end, so we're seeing each other when we are at our worst, so to say. And that is the reason why we are not building strong relations. And strong relations is essential in this era, which the greatest challenge is the breaking down of the family structure. So we need to work towards building strong relations within our marriages, with our kids, and with our greater community. When you look at the marriage, and that is the first point, marriage is constant work. Like they say that there's three phases. First, you are mad about each other. Then even progress, and they say, made for each other. And then it changes it around and says, mad at each other. The reality is that you have to constantly put effort in. And the moment you take things for granted in marriage, no matter how many years you may be married, that is when you will slowly drift apart. And you'll find yourself emotionally disconnected with one another. Each one just running parallel lives. The most beautiful garden, if it is left attended to, the weeds will eventually devour the healthiest of plants. So marriage is the same. You need to continuously invest in it. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us the type of interaction, the private time, the personal time that he had with his honorable spouses, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And the type of interaction, you can see the close bond. As Aisha radiallahu anhu says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put his head on my lap. Wa ana haizun, even when I was menstruating. When you would be consuming something from a glass, I would drink. And then he saw someone pick up the glass, and the very place where I put my lips, you'd put his lips on that place. Can you imagine the impact that this had on Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha? She says, we had a race, and initially I beat the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the race. And later on when I put on some weight, and then he beat me and he said, tilka bi tilka, initially you warned me, now I warn you, even Stephen. This is the type of interaction that I had. And you can pick up from this, and all the other interactions, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were asked that, what was the first thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would do when entering the home? They would say he would begin with a miswak. Why? To cleanse the mouth. So these things give us indication to the close bond, a continuous investment in the marriage. And we move on to the next phase, with regards to our relationship with our children. Then the ulama say there are three phases, 0 to 7, 7 to 14, and 14 to 21. And for each phase, you need to have a different understanding and a different plan of action. Because the first phase is where you are going to lay the foundation. And that foundation that you lay at that phase That is the foundation that is going to take you right through all the other phases. If that foundation is solid, then after that, everything else will then fall in place. So the first phase is the 0 to 7. It is at this phase where children are to play. Amusement, entertaining them. And for you as a parent, as a father, you need to invest in heavenly in this phase. Come down to the 11. Play with them. Look at the actions of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Usama radiallahu anhu says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was one day sitting and he took me on his right thigh and he took Al-Hassan on his left thigh and he held us together and he said, Oh Allah, please show mercy on them because I show mercy to them. And then he picked up Hassan radiallahu anhu and he kissed him. And a Sahabi was there, Aqra ibn Habis, and he found it strange that a man so great, so noble, so lofty, yet he's kissing a child in public in front of everyone, showing affection. Is that not a sign of weakness? Is that a sign of deficiency? So he said, O Nabi of Allah, إِنَّ لِي عَشَرْ مِنَ الْوَلَدْ مَا قَبَّلْتُ أَحَدًا. I have 10 children, and I've never kissed one of them. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at him and said, but what can I do in Allah? I stake in the heart. That person who does not show mercy, mercy will not be shown to him. This is the type of interaction in that first phase. And then when you move to the second phase, the 7 to 14, that is the years when children are sponges. They learn the best. What they learn in this phase will remain with them for the rest of the life. So that is where you make a concerted effort to the tarbiyah, and not only focusing on the worldly education, but also the Islamic education. Because, remember, in the end of the day, if you are choosing the extramural activities, the sports and the soccer and the cricket and all of that, or the extra tuition, in the time of madrasa, when is the child going to learn? Then really, you are choosing the dunya over the akhirah. By going to the shop or taking up a profession, you're not choosing the dunya over the akhirah. Everything has its place. But even that limited time that has been allocated for the ta'lim of a child, even that time, you want to engage in all these other things, and the child is hardly in madrasa, then بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. I'm afraid you've really chosen the dunya over the akhirah. These are the years where role modeling, showing behavior that leaves the best impression. And then we saw Aslam showed his own grandchildren. One day he's walking in the masjid and one of his grandchildren pick up a date. And they're about to consume it. And then we saw Aslam says, kihin, kihin, masjid, spit it out. And then he tells him, Ama amilta anna la na'kulu sadaqa? Do you not know that we do not eat charity? He made him take it out. So he showed practically the lesson to the grandson. Now those type of lessons are the lessons that will remain with them forever. Whatever we do at this stage will have its consequences. Just a short while ago I was to attend a speech contest of a primary school. In fact it was a nursery school. And there were a variety of speeches, all on different things, and one boy comes in and he gives a speech. Today I'm going to talk about my hero. Who is it? Lionel Messi, the soccer player. And he goes on and on speaking about it. And he lifts up his hands and a very powerful speech. And when I look closely, I see he has a t-shirt and perhaps the hairstyle. I don't really know what's the hairstyle. But there was some sort of a hairstyle that the boy had. And I assume it may have been Lionel Messi's hairstyle. Now my question to you is, if you plant a thorn, will a corn grow? No. If that is what you're going to instill in them at this stage, then that is what you're going to get. What you put in is what you're going to get. So you need to be careful that while you may say that they're still young, allow them, but also all of this is ingraining a certain culture, a certain ideology, which they will then take with them to adulthood. Then come the third phase, 14 to 21. This is the phase where the child is in what we term as teens. But really, Islamically, there's no teenage. The moment a child becomes baligh, mukallaf, they are responsible for the actions. There's accountability. Now, we think that, you know, everything was okay until the teens. That's when it all went wrong. That's where it manifests. But the problem didn't come there. The problem was that in the first two phases, you were deficient. You didn't set the proper foundation. And that's why the problems only manifest in the third phase. That's where all the problems came out. And that's why someone said that the odd thing about parenting is that by the time you have the necessary experience for your job, you're unemployed. You're unemployed because your children have already grown up and it's too late. The lessons that you ought to have learned, it's now nowhere to implement. So this is the phase where communication is essential. And that communication ought to have started at the early phase, from the initial toddler years. And if you communicated with them and had a solid relationship, speaking about the reality of life, the consequences of actions, then you will find the fruit at this phase. One man came home from the supermarket. So he brought with him a bag of sweets. He gathered all his children. And now he takes up the sweets and he says, I'm going to give the sweets to that one, that person who is most obedient to mommy and never speaks back to her. So who should get it? And after a moment of silence, his eldest daughter picks up and says, Daddy, I think you must get it. The reality is that the husband and the wife need to be on the same page. That if you have some idea of parenting and your wife says, no, it's fine, no, that it should be allowed, you will be at each other. You're sending contradictory messages to the child. Then the tarbiyah won't be done. You need to be on the same page. Only then can you send a strong message. So you obviously need to work out your parenting strategy beforehand, so that you are on the same page, so that those communication lines are there, and you know exactly what is it that you are working towards. Sometimes we make the mistake, and very often, we only comment when a child does something wrong. So, you know, the child picks up the report, or the parent picks up the report, and what will he typically do? He'll say, why did you do so bad in maths? But what about the English mark, where he got 60 or 70 or 80%. But our eyes go on the negative immediately, and we'll reprimand. Also, when the children are around, we'll reprimand when they are being naughty or being rowdy. But will we ever then take out the time to comment them or to praise them when they're being good? One boy came home with his report. In fact, he came home and he said that, Dad, I want you to, can you write in the dark? So the dad is wondering, but why do you want me to write in the dark? So he said, I just want you to write your name on my report. Now, the point I'd like to take from this is, Umar رضي الله عنه said, that يَنْبَغِي لِلْرَجُلْ أَنْ يَكُونَ فِي أَهْلِ مِثْلَ الصَّبِيِّ وَإِذَا الْتُمِسَ مَا إِنْدَهُ وَجِدَهُ رَجُلًا. That a man should be such that when he's with his kids, when he's in the home, he should be like a child. But when the need comes about, then he should be a man. So, the balance, that on the one hand, when your child has a problem, they should be able to approach you for the problem. On the other hand, it shouldn't be that you have such a pushover that there is no discipline in the home. You have to strike the balance at all times. And one person said that, you know, parenting, we all struggle with it. It's like holding soap. You hold too hard, soap will fall out. You hold too loose, still it will fall out. You've got to get that right balance. And that is what Umar radiallahu anhu said, that you've got to get that balance right. And we always continue trying, and you'll make mistakes and you'll go wrong, but it's a continuous effort. You need to be hands-on. A common scenario that has come about is the absent dad syndrome, that the father is so occupied with his next property or his job or the fishing trip over the weekend or the sporting game over the weekend that he's not actively involved in nurturing and instilling good morals and character in his children. If you'd like to be in their memories tomorrow, it has to be in their lives today. So there's no outsourcing of parenting that, you know, you can outsource it and get it done. You have to be hands-on. And the reality is that if it goes wrong, then there's great responsibility. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَسْتَرْعِيهِ اللَّهُ تَعَلَى رَأِيَةً. So there's no person who Allah has appointed, put under his control people. فَهُوَ غَاشٌ لِرَأِيَتِهِ. And if he is deceptive to them, that he hasn't made the arrangements for their tarbiyah, he's put them in circumstances which would lead to their destruction, then it is said, حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. His entry into Jannah will be delayed. That is the grave consequences. If a person does not understand his responsibility and act accordingly. On the other hand, if a person puts good effort in and has a plan of action, then the hadith says that when the person dies, then all his actions terminate except his pious children who remain behind, in whom he instilled good character and good morals, who continue to read for him and to continue to spend on his name. With every action that they do, he will attain reward. With every action that they do, he will attain reward. So the responsibility is great, but the rewards are also great. To sum up what I've been saying, someone very beautifully said, a family that plays together and prays together will stay together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our families, protect our marriages, grant us the understanding of our responsibility, and give us the ability to implement. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة للصلاة حي على للصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد المتوحد بالوحدانية هو الله الفرد المتفرد بالفردانية هو الله العزيز المتعزز بالعزة هو الله القدير المقتدر بالقدرة هو الله الخالق لجميع المخلوقات هو الله الرازق لجميع المرزوقات هو الله الحكيم بالحكمة هو الله الأول هو الله والآخر هو الله والظاهر هو الله والباطن هو الله قبل كل شيء هو الله وبعد كل شيء هو الله قوت قلوب العارفين لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وحياة أرواح المحبين بذكر لا إله إلا الله ولو كانت الجنة نصيب العاشقين بدون جماله فوا ويلاه ولو كانت النار نصيب المشتاقين مع وصاله فوا شوقاه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات وذكر الحكيم إنه تعالى جواد كريم ملك بر رؤوف رحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد فيا أيها الناس اتقوا الله تعالى في السر والعلن وذروا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن وحافظوا على الجمع والجماعة ووطنوا أنفسكم على السمع والطاعة
واعلموا أن الله أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه ثم سنى بالملائكة قدسه ثم سلت بالمؤمنين من برية جن وإنسه فقال تبجيلا لقدر حبيبه وتعظيمه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك على أحب خلقك لديك وأكرمهم لديك سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وتابعيه كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمة أبو بكر وأشهدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدة شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله. اللهم اغفر العباس ولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبه رضوان الله تعالى عليه أجمعين. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم والسلطان ظل الله في الأرض من أهان سلطان الله في الأرض أهانه الله. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن بطش ربك لشديد إنه هو يبدئ ويعيد وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد فعال لما يريد هل أتاك حديث الجنود فرعون وثمود بل الذين كفروا في تكذيب والله من ورائهم محيط بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم لك الحمد كله. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله. وصل على محمد كما أنت أهله. وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله. إنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا واهدنا سبل السلام ونجنا من الظلمات إلى النور. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسمائنا وأبصارنا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير كله ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر كله ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يا الكون يا شمس السجى قل لي بماذا أستقي كلماتي قل لي لعل الشعر يعجز من أضحى أثير الحب والزفر الوصف البديع كلاهما في أن يصوغ من القليل بآتي أنت الذي عم الوجود تناول أنت البدور بحلكة الظلمات أنت المديح وأنت وصف المجد بل وصفت بك الهمم الثقال الراسيات أنت الميمن بالهدى وحيا لنا فغدا دليل نبوءة وتقاتي أنت الذي سميت باسم محمد حمدت حيا بل وبعد مماتي فلقد بلغت من الإله وسيلة ومقام حمد عالي الدرجات يا نور فلا أنت أطيب ما تلاصق جلده بتراب هذه الأرض من خطواتي ولأنت أزكى ما تعالى ذكره ولأنت عند الله حبل نجاتي الأرض والكون الفسيح ووسعه والنهر عذبا والبحار وذاتي يشهدن عزما أنك الحب الذي ملأ القلوب وأسكب العفاءات فلتصمت الأبواق إن محبك المشغوف حبا قد علا بصلاتي صلى عليك الله يا شمس الدجى يا من تردد في صدى نبضاتي فراتي اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا
عليك الله يا نبينا